It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. I'm delighted that you've all joined us, and it's kind of a fun day today. We've got video going for the first time, so I get to see my guest, which is really fun. You get to see us, and hopefully it'll help the conversation. So as usual, this podcast is devoted to giving you tangible, practical steps that you can use to bring more joy and ease into your money flow. Now, what I think is kind of interesting as we step into the spiritual world, into the manifestation, abundance world, is I think sometimes we try to leapfrog over our pain and get right into that joy and ease. And you know, that's great. Nobody likes pain and suffering. I don't like pain and suffering any more than you do. But when we have that pain and suffering and we don't address it, we end up recreating it over and over again. And my guest and I, and I will introduce you to Regina here in just a moment, have lived through some of that pain and suffering. And I think we've probably tried our own leapfrogging and it didn't work. So we're here to be transparent today to tell you a little bit about our personal journeys through what we call money storms. And as we get through those storms, how you can actually use that pain and suffering to transform into what it is that you really want, which is having a flow of abundance, right? So Regina is the perfect person to talk to about this. And so I'm really glad that she's here. So let me tell you a little bit about her. We are going to talk with, and Regina, I didn't double check with your last name before we started. So I apologize if I trip over it, but Regina Ozerjanski, did I say that?
Did excellent. Wow. Perfect.
Excellent. So Regina is a real estate investor and an active realtor. She's a certified yoga instructor as well as a soul language practitioner. So soul language practitioner is how she and I met. She works with individuals and families to help them create transformation in the areas of wealth and health, aligning them with their life's mission and purpose. Regina's work in the world is a result of her own extensive personal transformation that she did through deep healing work, both in the mind and the body and in emotional healing. Regina specializes in helping her students and clients get unstuck and move through fear, supporting them in living more purposefully and passionately. So whether it's on a mat, in a private session, in the classroom, at a yoga retreat, or out in the field showing property, Regina is committed to helping conscious men and women and families achieve the results they wish to acquire. So Regina, welcome. I'm really glad that you are here to have this conversation today.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me. It was very exciting.
Yeah. So, you know, as I said, you know, you and I have both weathered money storms, and we'll talk about kind of what that means. Just briefly, right? It's being in a situation where there's a lot of pain and suffering. You know, I remember a time when I had three kids, $10 in the checking account, and a week before payday. And, you know, while we're not here to trade war stories, right, we do want to get real about what's going on when money isn't flowing and when there's a lot of pain and suffering. And I think that the place to start is to start to talk about what's really going on. What are we really feeling when we're in the middle of one of these money storms? So what do you want to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, what I've learned from my experience is that money is an energy. Like you said, it's an energy flow, and sometimes it's suffocated, right? And there is no flow or lack of flow. And so, like all things, money is energy. And it's really a beautiful tool that can be utilized for a description of how a person relates, I feel, to themselves. When a person, it doesn't mean that if you're having money challenges that you don't feel good about yourself. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm stating for me, my experience was that when I was having money troubles, it was often because I wasn't able to manage my life. And so my worthiness was attached to how much money I had. And I've had money, I've had less than feeling like I had money. I mean, it's all relative, right? There could be a person who's listening who has millions in the bank, and then there's people who have, you know, 10 cents in the bank. And at the end of the day, it does not measure our level of worth, does it?
No, it doesn't, except for when we think it does, right?
Exactly.
You know, and there's so much that pops up in our culture that says that, you know, what's in your bank account is what is your worth to the planet, or, you know, the power that you have in the room, maybe, right? And so I think we internalize that. And so when we get in these places of not having enough, and again, it doesn't have to be $10 in the bank when there isn't enough, right? You can have money in the bank and then it keeps leaving, right? It doesn't, money storms don't necessarily have to mean that you have $0. But I think what holds those, what makes those storms similar for everybody is the emotion that we go through when we're having trouble with money. There is so much shame wrapped up in having difficulty with money. Would you agree?
I would. Yeah. And I remember I was actually renting a room back in, I don't know, just a while ago, maybe 10 or 12 years ago. And I was living with a friend, and up to that point, we had worked together and we were friends. And I ended up moving in. She had asked me if, you know, the timing was right and the circumstances and everything. So I ended up living with her for about almost 2 years. And I remember one day I came home and I had, I think at the time, like less than $300 in the bank, which for me was a big deal because I was used to having a little bit more than that, a lot more than that. And so here it was, I had like less than $300 in the bank. I was freaking out. But there was a part of me that was okay, right? Like I was like, well, it is what it is. What can I do? And so I remember having a little bit of cereal, and I borrowed a bowl of cereal from her. And it wasn't even the last bit of cereal. It was like almost like there would have been like enough for one more bowl. And I said to her, I left her a note and I said, hey girl, you know, thanks so much for all you do for me. And I was always thanking her. And I was always, I felt being very appreciative. And I wrote her a note and I said, thank you. I'll replace the cereal as soon as I can. Meanwhile, this beautiful young woman who had unfortunately lost both her parents in different circumstances, but both her parents had passed away, and she was an orphan, right? And she had, I don't know how many millions, but she had been left a large sum of money. And I remember how fearful she was that I took a bowl of cereal. And that was my wake up call, was that it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, because the worthiness that was attached to her feeling like she was taken, something was taken from her, even after I had communicated, hey, this is going to be replaced, it wasn't even the end of it, was very clear to me that money was energy and is energy, and that there was so much more of an iceberg underneath the surface. When people show up with money or don't have money, that's just a tool. It's just an energy. And so it really helped me open my eyes to the opportunity that there's a lot more to the story and that there's emotions involved. And she taught me a super valuable lesson that day. Which was so scary with me.
Right. I mean, there's all kinds of stories that we tell ourselves around money. And sometimes it's worth, and sometimes it's safety, right? Yes, I have millions in the bank, but that bowl of cereal for some reason is going to send me over the edge, right? Because it's this sense of scarcity and worry. And, you know, there's a lot going on our planet right now that speaks to the same story, right? Of when there's uncertainty around, what do we do? We tend to hoard, right? We can end up hoarding money. And it really demonstrates what's going on internally, right? We react in a certain way by going and buying, you know, a year's worth of toilet paper. But if we don't understand why we're doing that, right? If we don't understand the story that we're telling ourselves, that we're not safe, that something isn't always going to be present for us, we just keep recreating it over and over again, right?
Right. And it really is. And I think that's the message that is so important for all of us to learn, is when we keep repeating the same habits, yeah, behaviors, there's a theory of, you know, how many times do I need to learn my lesson, right? Do I want to hit my head against a concrete wall and see myself, you know, in this violent state? Or can I learn from a feather nudging me, right? And I believe the universe has an amazing way of educating and teaching us through these lessons. And it's up to us to be wise enough to take those lessons and heed those precautions, you know? So I feel really fortunate that when I am smart enough to learn those lessons, I don't have to keep repeating the behavior, even if the situation happens again.
Well, absolutely. And so as long as we can maintain our, how do I want to say this? Maintain our clarity, right? Because when we don't know what we don't know, and we're wrapped up in the shame and the embarrassment of having something going wrong with money, it can be hard to see our way out, right? It can be, you know, so, and particularly when we're feeling a sense of shame, if you look at David Hawkins' work with the frequency of emotions, shame is right at the bottom. We have zero power when we are in shame, right? And it takes sometimes somebody else to step in and say, let me help you. Let me lend you a hand and let me help you through these emotions. But I think the important message here that we want to talk about is, if you're having the repeating patterns, as you said, if you're having these repeating emotions, that's the time to say, wait a minute, maybe I should get a little bit curious about this. Maybe it isn't my self-worth. Maybe it isn't my safety. Maybe there's something else going on, right? I'm suffocating my flow of money. And I think that's the big message that you and I really want to articulate in this particular conversation.
Yeah, which is why I love the soul languages, because they, for myself and my students and my clients, have really been a valuable tool to help integrate with the soul consciousness and to be able to, you know, bring it in, so to speak, and to really look at those, where are those patterns coming from? Why do I do X, Y, and Z? And it's really fascinating.
It really is. Yeah, it's such an important tool. And we're going to have a chance to talk about those tools and maybe a couple of, not next segment, but in the following segment after that. But now we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer and Regina. We are going to break. And then when we come back, Regina and I are going to share our personal money storm stories. So stay tuned.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Regina Ozujenski. And we have been talking about money storms and all of the different emotions that are involved when we are in a hard place in relationship to money, and how those emotions can stop us from moving forward, but how we really need to, once we begin to recognize that we're in the middle of a pattern, that can actually allow transformation. So what I would love for us to do in this segment, Regina, is to share our personal money storm stories. And I know we have a number of them, most people do, but I'd love for each of us to share a little bit about what we went through, the ahas, you were talking about the cereal, but to then talk a little bit about recognizing the pattern and then the transformation that happened afterwards. So I can start or you can start. Would you like to start?
Sure. Sure. So definitely, I mean, the cereal story is an interesting one because it was so, I feel, significant. It was so simple, and yet it was so significant. And what I learned in the cereal story was that, you know, precious gift I feel I got, which is that doesn't matter how much money someone has in the bank, the money conversation really is about energy, and it is about the connection that we have to money. And it's really this relationship that we have, so to speak. So it's almost like a relationship with a person, except it's with money. And it comes from stories, right? So the stories I was told when I was a kid, and I love my parents. So, you know, they did an amazing job, I think, doing their best. And there's a lot of things I'm so humbled by the way I grew up, right? Because I grew up with two parents that were immigrants from Russia, and they worked very, very, very hard, and they still do. And they taught me the value of hard work. They taught me the value of a dollar. And they also said some things that weren't the most serving for me as I grew up that I got to change into more serving stories. So, you know, one of the things that I love about my upbringing is, interestingly enough these days, you know, this conversation about going to the store and there's not, you know, shelves stocked with as much groceries as we're used to, right? Yeah. So my parents, my mom used to actually stand in line for 2 hours at a time getting milk and bread and eggs. And she would leave my sister at home, who was still a kid, with the neighbors. And she would tell me stories how, you know, my sister would be home by herself. I mean, not by herself, but with the neighbors. And my mom didn't have a choice. Like, that's what she had to do. Sometimes she'd take her, sometimes she didn't. But it wasn't like an out of the box thing for them. I remember having my mom, you know, she would share with me how they would stand in line for 2 hours at a time, and it was really normal for them. And so what it taught me was to be grateful for the little things and to be gentle with the process and, you know, not push so hard. Like, sometimes we don't need to push the way I'm learning now, that I don't need to push as hard as I used to, because if I'm in the flow, it's going to just show up, it's going to come. And it doesn't mean that I don't take inspired action. It means trusting those ideas and those inspired thoughts and say, okay, I can take action on this. And it's a little bit less of a grind, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, my story with money, you know, money has really been a teacher for me. And I can see that throughout my throughout all the years, actually growing up. But the biggest money storm that I faced was, there was a period of 5 years. And at the beginning of the 5 years, I remember very clearly my husband and I sitting in our financial advisor's office, and she was like, wow, y'all are doing great. If you just keep doing what you're doing, you're going to have plenty for retirement. The kids' colleges are funded, you know, everything is great. And 5 years later, we were declaring bankruptcy. And there's a lot that I could say about why the actual thing happened, right? My husband was unemployed for probably 3.5 of those 5 years. We spent his 401k before we asked for any help. We were without insurance. We did a surgery and other medical procedures without any health insurance. So, I mean, there were the reasons, right, that I could point to show why we ended up where we ended up. But and I remember very clearly when we made the decision, we were outside in the garden. We both love hosta. We were in the middle of our hosta and we were just like, look, we've got to do something different. The pressure was unbelievable to try to stay ahead. And again, three children and you're trying to do the best for them and not show them any sort of anything, but inside just that pain and suffering and the beating up. Oh my goodness. That the amount of beating up that I gave to myself, I would never have done that to another person, but man, we're hard on ourselves, aren't we? So anyway, I remember being out in the garden and we made the decision. And as soon as we made the decision, there was a lot of pressure that came off my shoulders and I could feel my evaluation of myself absolutely tank. I was so embarrassed. I was so full of shame. And my dad worked in budget and planning at university. I mean, I should know better, right? I mean, I should have known better. So what was really interesting though, was that as I'm going through all of this, I was working with women who were dealing with fertility issues, and I was teaching them about the mind-body connection and how our internal beliefs could block something like physical, like a baby. And it was a huge aha for me at the time of saying, oh, wait a minute, maybe this intense shame and embarrassment is creating that same kind of blockage, right? That's that second chakra. It's money, it's creativity, it's fertility, it's sexuality. It's all the same energy. And as soon as I started looking, I could see that what I was doing with my money, in that 5-year interim and honestly, all the years before, was looking to money to determine my self-worth. Was I a good enough business owner? Did I have a good enough message? Was I helping people in the right way? I was looking at my bank account as a way to tell me that, as opposed to going internal, right? So there was an aha there. And then about the same time, I found soul language, which we talked about earlier, right? Soul language is a paradigm that puts tangibility to soul. And as soon as I began to step into that world of soul, and began to understand my worth as, wait a minute, it has nothing to do with what's out here. My worth comes from being that unique strand of the divine. And it that never goes away, no matter what you're doing, right? So bankruptcy, while it was filled, it was interesting. We had borrowed money from both sets of parents. And part of the terms of bankruptcy is you have to write a letter to the people that you've borrowed money from to tell them what you're going through. I mean, so this act of writing these letters, right, to people that you love and respect, so much, again, shame and embarrassment. But I don't think that I would change a bit about my story. I don't think I would change anything about that money storm that I went through because it was so transformational for me, right? But it took me getting really honest with how I was feeling. It took me being really honest about that deep shame and deep embarrassment and reaching out for new tools to stop these ridiculous repeating patterns that led us to where we ended up. There's no way I would be where I am today without having gone through that storm. So I think that, as you know, you and I both work with people who have storms of various kinds, whether it's a physical storm or whether it's a money storm, that the power of the ability of transformation is a real possibility. So Regina, what would you say about your, is there anything else that you'd add about your own transformation?
Yeah, there was a lot of pain and suffering and a lot of shame on my part as far as what I thought it meant of who I was and my worth and, how will my clients forgive me and blah, 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 blah. And then little did I know, a lot of my clients later and my students later, I found out were going through the exact same thing. And the difference was that I could now talk about it. And I got something really valuable a couple of weeks ago that I've started adopting, which is it's a concept. And that's really, like you said, I wouldn't change anything. I don't want anyone to have to go through that. And I got so much value out of it. I got so many lessons and so much so many gifts, and I know that everything happens for a reason, and I am a full believer of that. I really feel that things happen to us, not to us, but for us. They happen as a tool for us.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we're just about to break, but I want to say just some really quickly that, you know, we're talking about lessons and things that we've learned. And you mentioned right at the very beginning of the show, look, how about instead of learning from beating my head against a wall, I can learn from a feather. And that's what we want to talk about in our next segment. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some tangible steps that each of you can take if you are in one of these storms so that you can maybe have the grace of a feather in instead of a storm. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Obert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Obert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyobert.com. That's drkathyobert.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. If you haven't been practicing active listening or not getting into some bad habits, it's a good idea to go back to the basics and remind yourself how to be a good listener. Here's an idea that might help. When your child comes to you with a story about her day, set aside whatever you're doing and give her your full attention. If you're in the middle of something that can't be put aside, tell her that you really want to be able to give her story your full attention and ask if you could continue the conversation at a specific time. So for example, this sounds like an important story and I'd really like to give it my full attention. Can we talk about it in 10 minutes when supper's in the oven? Active listening might sound like common sense, but often it's these simple skills that get buried in our parenting pack and easily forgotten or overlooked. Challenge yourself to practice this skill for a full week and see if you notice a difference in how much your child is sharing.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com.
Living a richly abundant life sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
Hello, friends. This is Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. We all have a path to walk on our journey of life. There's no right and there's no wrong path. It's simply the path we have chosen. We also know that everyone and everything is composed of energy. Just as there's a positive, there is a negative. Just as there's light, there is dark, and of course, just as there is resistance, there is non-resistance. We are the creators of our life story. We are the captain of our ship. We are the producer of our movie. And as we walk our path, we have the free will to use our energy accordingly. I hope you have a wonderful day, filled with love, light, joy, and of course, non-resistant, free-flowing energy. Namaste, my beautiful friends, and I'll see you next time.
Oh, we're we're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Regina Ozyansky. And Regina, before we get into the tangible steps that we talked about in the previous segment, I want people, can you tell us how people can get in touch with you? Because I want to make sure that those people who are resonating with you can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for asking. The best way is actually to text me at 64600, the 5-digit code, and you can text the word yoga. And I do have a free gift on there. It's actually some tools to access internal peace, which I think is something that everybody needs now.
Oh, fantastic. I'm going to be texting that one more time. Can you give that number to us one more time?
Absolutely, with pleasure. 64600 and text the word yoga.
Perfect. Okay, fantastic. So I'm really going to encourage you, those of you who are listening, internal peace tools, so important in the world today. And even before everything started, it's so important. And it's a really good base. And, you know, it's actually also a good segue into what we want to talk about, because, I think that we discount sometimes some of the tools that we can take, some of the tangible steps that we can take to get ourselves out of a storm setting. I know for me, I'll call myself out. You know, I want the answer, right? If something's not going well, I want to know right now what it is. Tell me, I'll do it. If you tell me to stand on my head for an hour, for 3 days in a row, I will do it. But it's really a series of smaller steps, I think, that allow us to get out of a stormy situation. So what would you say, Regina, what would you share with a client as far as a tangible step or two that they could start to take when they are starting to recognize, okay, wait a minute, I'm in a repeating pattern here. I really want to step out, but man, I'm having a hard time doing it.
Well, I feel there's a couple things. Number one is to identify the problem, right? Which sometimes we can't do on our own. So I think it's really important to have a team, or I love coaches, because I realize I can't do it by myself. You know, even now, I mean, there's always the next level, and it's really important for us to be able to, I think, humble ourselves enough to know when we have fallen on our face, right? And I laugh because sometimes we don't want to acknowledge that, but the truth is the quicker we acknowledge it, the faster we can get up. And it's not, I was just going to say, like with a child, it's not like the child falls and we get upset, right? Like we don't yell at the kid, get up, you should walk by now, right? It's right, not like right. that. But yet when it comes to ourselves, we put so much pressure on ourselves that we're supposed to know and we're supposed to be doing it right. And you know, the truth is everybody, every human being that's breathing right now, all 8 billion of us, 7.9, whatever the number is, everyone's got something they're dealing with.
Yeah, that's so true. And you know, I love what you had to say, that, and the word that I would attach to that is acceptance, right? The first part of it is just, let's just accept where we are, instead of, again, thinking back to that time when we were in the steps right before the bankruptcy, there was so much like constant movement, trying to, you know, shuffle around I still feel like we had blinders on, like, no, this isn't real. But as soon as we said, okay, yes, this is, you know, let's just be honest, this is where we are. What's next? That's when the next series of steps showed up. But it is a prideful thing. We get caught in pride, we can get caught in ego and say, no, I don't want to accept it, because I think there's some taboo around that word accept, right? Because I think when if people say, well, I'm accepting where I am, they think they're not going to go anywhere, right? It's like, oh no, I'm just gonna live with it for the rest of my life. But that's not it. Acceptance is that it gives enough peace to get to the next step.
Yeah. And I think what happens is some people think it's like a form of settling.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they settle for accepting, right? That in their head, that's what that means. But the truth is you can't, we can't move to running until we've learned to walk.
Yeah.
And so it's actually quite, you know, braggadocious of us to try to think that we can run when we've never even learned how to walk yet. Like, and some people are amazing at that, right? Some people, you know, can run really fast, and some people are really, really good with finances and all this stuff. And so, you know, I think each person has a certain skill set that they have in life. And usually we're just more hard on ourselves than we need to be. And that's what I've learned in speaking with people and in my own experience.
Yeah, definitely. 1000%. 1000%. So, okay. So you've got somebody, and they're in that place of acceptance. They're reaching out. What would be another, tangible step that you think, that they can take to help get out of the storm?
So I think definitely accepting, and then finding someone that they can talk to. So like a financial coach, or even a business coach, or, you know, a life coach, right? Because the truth is we have coaches for all these things. You know, athletes have coaches, you know, business people have coaches. Like, what makes me think I shouldn't need a coach? Mm-hmm. Right. And for me, that was a worth thing too, right? If I wasn't willing to invest in myself and in my business, how could I expect anyone else to invest in me? Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was a real wake up call, was how do I acknowledge that I am worthy of investing that much money in myself? And now I do it because I need to, and because I know the value of it.
Right. Right. When I think about the number of resources I've tapped into, it's amazing. And each one has helped me expand and expand and expand. Right. It's funny because I've got a person in my life who's like, I know I should be able to do this all by myself. And there's a lot of shame when he can't do it all by himself. And it's like, look, you know, how many teachers have I had? Right. And it's okay for me. But again, it's just one of those things those family messages, right, that we get, that pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You should be able to do things on your own, take care of things yourself. There's a lot of, our country in particular, I think, that prides itself on independence. So, you know, those are some of the, you know, I think if you can start to get the word that I love to use is get really curious. You know, what is it that I'm thinking? What am I telling myself? What's that story that's in my head? And is it really true? Right? Is it
serving me? Yeah.
Exactly. Is it serving me? And it does it serve me to look at my bank account and beat myself up? Absolutely not. Does it serve me to get curious and say, okay, what's happening here? What's going on? What family patterns am I repeating? What belief structure am I repeating? Because as you talked about in one of the previous segments, and as one of the things that I've shared a lot on this program, is money is an energy. We because we are unique strands of the divine, we have access to all of the divine's resources. The divine has unlimited resources. We should all be living with unlimited resources, whatever that means to each one of us. And when we need to be able to realize that and say, okay, I don't have the resources that I want, there must be a blockage, right? And that curiosity of what might it be? And I think and perhaps this language is a little bit because, you know, as you know, with soul language, we have our three personal languages, and then we have teams of energies that come in to support any other relationship that we have. And of course, we have a relationship team for money. My mission language around money is observer. So I'm always looking for those patterns, right? That's the thing that I bring to the table with both for myself and for my clients. But the curiosity is really important, as opposed to let's beat myself up with a 2x4.
Yeah. And the truth is, you know, this was the other thing that I started thinking about, was how would I talk to my friends? How would I talk to my clients, my students? If they came to me and they said they were going through these challenges, would I beat them over the head? No. I'd be really compassionate and caring. And I think that's what we need to be with ourselves. And sometimes we don't have the strength to do that. So that's why it's really important to have a coach that does that, or a friend, or support group. I mean, it could be there's so many options. And I found coaches really work, which is why I became one, because I found that for me was the way that I was going to be held accountable, and not just to do whatever I needed to do, but to also be able to accept right? Like, I didn't want to talk to a bankruptcy attorney. I kept putting my arms up and saying, no, no, no. And then it got to a point where I couldn't, you know, couldn't put my head in the sand anymore. And I was really struggling. And I remember going to the bankruptcy attorney. I went to see three. And I remember the one that I ended up, one of them I talked to, and I remember he had a turban on, and he reminded me of one of my yoga teachers. Mm. And he said to me, and I wasn't a yoga teacher at that time, I was just a student. And he said to me, do you think that bankruptcy is not spiritual? Mm. And I said, no, I don't. I said, what do you mean? And we had this whole discussion, and he said his perspective, right? As an attorney, of course, he's an attorney and this is a profession, but he said, your job is to be, like you said, in acceptance. And he said, the rest is, this is a system that's designed to support people. Now, am I saying that everyone should go and file bankruptcy? That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I am also saying that if you need help, you need to talk about it and you need to come up with solutions, because just like you, Jennifer, I was really stubborn and I was afraid to ask for help because I was afraid of what that might mean and that I was weak and that I couldn't figure it out. And, you know, I would be considered stupid. And really, I was being fearful of judgment, which mm-hmm. nobody was judging except me, because the truth is everyone's dealing with their own stuff.
That's right. That's right. You know, and people do have different opinions about bankruptcy, right? I mean, there's a risk. It feels like there's a risk by telling stories and saying what you're going through. But on the other hand, you know, there's a lot of opinions about a lot of things. And the people who carry that judgment, so to speak, haven't lived that life path. They've got a different life path, right? And we get to really step in with our own sovereignty, with our own authenticness, and really step in and say, this is me. This is my story. I get to decide. And as soon as we come out of judgment of ourselves, it's fascinating, because I remember the sort of that line that happened. It was like while I was still judging myself and after I stopped judging myself about it. But before I started judging myself, I would run into people and I'd have a conversation in an elevator and somebody would say something like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the number of people who go through bankruptcy. You know, like completely, you know,
out of the
blue, like, why are you telling me this? Right. And as soon as I stopped judging myself about it, I don't think I've had a comment to this day. It's really fascinating.
And it really connects people. Like, I think, especially right now, like in the world, like, I think people are starting to understand the value of, I don't want to say these stories, but these experiences, right? Yeah. Like, it's not a stamp of shame or that you're a bad person because you went through this financial crisis or you had a divorce or whatever happened, you got sick. Like, it's not, A, it's not contagious, and B, it's not like that. Like, it's not a stamp of bad, whatever that means.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, Regina, I really appreciate you showing up for our conversation today and being willing to share your story, because it's a vulnerable thing to do. But I think that when we get to show what it feels like to be vulnerable and to have a real conversation and to see the transformation that comes out of it, there's nothing more powerful than that. So thank you so much for being a part of the conversation today. Would you please remind people one more time about how they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me with your listeners today. I'm so happy to share. And the best way to reach me is by texting the number 64600. Text the word yoga, and I do have a free gift on there to learn how you can access more inner peace, internal peace. And so delighted to be with you today. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you were here. All right, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, and you're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance. And we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I'm going to talk about a couple more tangible steps that you can take to get out of the money storm. So stay tuned.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom. So in this podcast, we've been talking a lot about money storms. In the last segment, Regina and I were talking about tangible steps that you can take to get yourself out of the money storms. And I want to take you through a quick exercise that's going to actually get you started in this process. So if this is something that is resonating with you, that you can actually get moving and get some information about the steps that you can start to take. Before we do that, I want to touch base with something that I talked about right at the very beginning of the podcast, and that is that it is human nature, really, to want to leapfrog over and out of the pain and suffering and into the area of joy and ease, right? I mean, have you ever said, I wish I could just win the lottery, then I don't have to worry about any of this anymore, right? It's like, I just want to get out of it. And of course, it's totally human nature. But what I want to say about that is that even if you were to win the lottery, what money is reflecting to you is underlying patterns that are still going to be present. So whether those patterns impact your lottery win, right? I mean, how many lottery winners go on to lose all of their all of their winnings? Or maybe you end up with a problem that looks different, but actually feels the same. Whatever money is reflecting to you isn't going to go away unless you do the work to begin to shift through it. And that sounds kind of onerous, right? Just I've got to work my way through it. And I don't really mean it like that. But money is such a fantastic teacher. It's here to be a resource for you, and it also reflects where you're getting stuck in life. It's so easy to look at your bank account and know whether money is flowing or not. So you might as well take the gift that money is giving you to show you where things are stuck and pinched off and open that up so that not only do you have flow and joy and ease in your money, but you also aren't getting stuck in a different area of your life. All right. So keep in mind, right, I've been talking about, right, money is reflecting things to you. Keep in mind that in this money relationship, right, there's you, there's the divine, and there's money. The divine can't insert itself into your life, right? We as humans have our own free will, and money has no free will. All the money relationship can show you is what you are putting back into it, where you are squeezing off the flow of these unlimited resources from the divine. So what might money be reflecting to you? Money might be reflecting that you are holding on to old family history, old family patterns that maybe served your family, maybe didn't serve your family. For example, in my family, I had a grandfather who worked for the same company forever. And then when it came time for pensions, the company had taken the money. There were no more pensions. So there was a sense of not safety with money and really needing to make sure you had lots of money in other places. You might have family history. Like maybe you have extended family that lived through a time like a depression, right? Current conditions right now, right, where things might be a little bit scary around money and abundance. If people have lived through that in previous times, you might carry some of that. money might be reflecting to you other beliefs that you have. Regina and I talked a lot about self-worth in this in our conversation today, right? So maybe money is reflecting to you where your worth could use a little bit of boosting. Money might also be reflecting to you some of the emotions that you carry on a regular basis that you don't hardly even notice anymore, right? Perhaps it's reflecting to you that you are feeling the balance of your time, things like fear and worry and anxiety, stress. Okay? So, these are the gifts that money is giving you so that you can start to shake things up a little bit, go through some healing pattern, some sort of healing process, and allow your flow to get unstuck. Something I want to mention before we step into the exercise is that as you're going through this process, you might find yourself feeling some shame, feeling some embarrassment, feeling some frustration, feeling some angst towards yourself, and that's all totally normal. It's really helpful if you have some sort of tool that you can use to release those feelings, because otherwise you can kind of get bogged down in the feelings and it's a little bit hard to do the process work. So I love EFT. That's the tool that I use. There's a number of them out there. But again, it's good to have that sort of in your back pocket so that if you're starting to feel a little bit frustrated or worried or angry or something, that you can release those emotions and keep going with your discovery work. And again, that's something that I do a lot of work around. So if you need some help, please reach out. I'm happy to help. All right. So let's do a really fast exercise here to help you begin to be aware of what money is reflecting back to you. Okay. So go ahead and please close your eyes, take a couple of deep breaths. Ask for body and soul to be integrated. Imagine that you can bring your consciousness down into your heart center. You don't have to know how, just to ask for that to happen. And imagine that you can take a couple of breaths here. If you happen to know your soul languages, I'm going to ask you to connect with both your personal team and your money language team. And if you don't, you can simply ask divine intelligence to create a conscious connection between you and your soul. And now imagine that you are standing in front of a beautiful body of water. It could be a pool, it could be a pond, a lake, the ocean, it doesn't matter. But let's imagine that water is money, and on the surface, you're starting to see all kinds of things being reflected back to you. So ask divine intelligence, ask your soul teams to show you on the surface of the water what's being reflected to you. What's blocking your flow? Are there family patterns? Are there belief patterns? Are there emotional patterns? And you may want to pause the recording here and take a little bit of time, or you can do this exercise again. Right? But then you get to ask the divine, what's the first internal step I get to take to shift what's being reflected to me? And then what's the first doing step I get to do to shift what's being reflected back to me? And take a nice deep breath. Thank the divine and your soul for the information and bring yourself back into the present moment. As I said, we did something really fast. I'm going to invite you maybe to go back and do that exercise again as you need to. But what I want to leave you with here is the knowing that money's on your side. Even if you are in the middle of what seems to be the worst money storm, it's here to help you come back into alignment, to come back to who you really are, which is a unique soul, a unique strand of the divine, and you have unlimited access to resources. And this storm is here to show you how to get back and connected. If you need any assistance doing that, please reach out. It is what it's my gift here on the planet, and I love doing that work with people. Thank you. We're here at the end of the episode. So thank you all for being present, for taking in this information. And if there's any way that I can help you, please reach out. We are going to finish here. And as just a reminder, Soul Wisdom Abundance airs every Friday at noon Eastern, or it's not every Friday, it's the first and third Fridays of the month. And next episode, we are going to talk with a guest who's going to help us understand how to stay calm when we don't know the how. Looking forward to that conversation. So until we meet again, I offer each and every one of you prosperous blessings. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit jenniferbloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.